On Daf Ayin Ches Amud Aleph, and the sugi is trying to figure out, if you recall, what Binyan Av is Rava talking about. What's the relevancy of his Binyan Av? He establishes Rava based on the pasuk in Dvarim Yudalid that Se, the word Se, when used by the Torah, excludes Kilayim. And the language of Rava, back on Ayin Zayin Amid Beis, is Zeb Binyan Av L'chol Makom Shenemar Se, Eino Ela Lahotzi Es HaKalayim, to exclude Kilayim. And the question is, what exactly is he coming to exclude? In other words, when I take this Binyan Av to exclude Kilayim in the case of Se, for example, if there's a marriage relationship, a breeding between a keves and an eiz, the product of that relationship is a kilayim, what is it excluding from? And the Gemara tried to use it to exclude it as an exclusion for kodshim, and the Gemara says, but we have in the parasha of kodshim itself, shar o keves. And the O itself in that parasha, which is in Vayikra Chav Beis, is a mute, because the pasuk says Shar O Kesev O Eiz Yerotze LeKarbon Ishe LaShem, and this excludes Kilayim from the Mizbeach, from Karbonos, a Psul Karbon called Kilayim. And the Gemara went through a long, complicated Shakal Vitaria to establish that the O is indeed a mute and it excludes Kilayim from the Mizbeach. The Gemara then suggested another possibility, and that is Maaser, Maaser Behema. The Torah tells us that every tenth animal has to be designated as Maaser. And this is where we're picking it up today. It's about halfway through the daf. In the case of Maaser Behema, if you put 10 animals in a corral and you count out 9, and when you get to the 10th you say Asiri Kodesh, it's designated as a karbon, has a din of Kodshim Kalim, then perhaps Rava wants to exclude this said that's Kilayim, because let's say one of its parents is an Aes, from Maaser, which means it's not included in the together with the other 9 to count out 10 for Maaser. And if somehow it got included and it was the 10th that was designated for Maaser, it's not Maaser. Or alternatively, the products of this Kilayim, let's say this Kilayim itself has baby animals, those animals are potter from Maaser. So the Gemara is not happy with that either, because let's look at the Pasha of Maaser. That's in Vayikra Chaf Zayin, Pasuk Lamed Vav, Lamed Beis, excuse me, it says there, V'chol Maaser Maaser behema, bokar v'tzon, kol asher yavor tachas hashavet, ha'asiri yeh kodesh l'ashem. And the Torah mentions tzon, explicitly tzon is se. And would we exclude se from the word se, kilayim? That's l'chora what Rava might be doing with this binyan. But the answer is, I don't need that either. Because tachas tachas yolf mikodshim, the pasuk says tachas hashevet, and in the parash of kodshim, it says in Vayikra chavbeis v'hoya shivas yomim tachas imo, and that's again in the context of kodshim, and this tachas tachas presents an equation analogy through Gzeir Shava between the laws of Kodshim and the laws of Maaser. And just like in general in Kodshim, Kilayim were excluded from the O in the Pasuk Shar O Kesev, so too in Maaser, Kilayim is excluded. So the Gemara offers now a third suggestion. E libchar, we have a parsha again in Vayikra Chav Zayin, im shar im se lashem hu. The Torah is referring to a firstborn, shar or se, and it is designated as a karbon and has kedushas bechora. Perhaps Rava's binyan av is coming to exclude kilayim from bechor. The Gemara says that also is unnecessary because of havara, havara, yolif mimaser. All the dinim of bechor are derived through gzeirah shava from maser. In bechor, the Torah says in Shmos Yud Gimel, vavarta kol peter rechem lashem, and in maser in Vayikra Chav Zayin, kol asher yavor tachas hashovet. So since we already know that in the case of mitzvahs maser, kilayim are excluded, and that's by virtue of the gzeirah shava kodshim, so too bechor, by virtue of the gzeirah shava to maser, we exclude kilayim. Now the Gemara offers an alternative suggestion as to how we would derive that kilayim is excluded from bechor. Inami nidme. Now we know that an animal, nidme, is an animal that was born not from kilayim, but the breeding of the animal was from parents who belong to the same species, let's say an ayil and a rochel, but the vlad looks like an ace, like more of the goat family. And we know that there's no kedushas bechor in such a case. Tichsiv in the parasha bechor in Bamidbar Yudches, ach bechor shor, ad sheyehu shor. In other words, it have to have the appearance of a shor. Ubechoro shor. The bechor also has to have the appearance of a shor. If the bechor has a different appearance, then it's excluded from bechor. And now the Gemara applies the kal v'chomer. Is kilayim mi boy? In the case of kilayim, where the parents themselves are not ayil and rochel, are not two of the same species, but one of them, let's say, is a kesev, and the other is a tayish, as we said earlier, in such a case, it's excluded from bechor. And how do I know it's excluded from bechor? Because of the kal v'chomer. If nidme, which is not really kilayim, is excluded, how much more so kilayim itself? And yesterday we discussed this kal v'chomer at great length. Ella ki itma deravelinyan petach amar. The Gemara makes its final attempt to understand the content and the import of Rava's binyan av to exclude kilayim, and that is petach amar. There's a parsha in Shmos Yud Beis called Petach Hamar Tifteh V'Seh, that when you have a firstborn of a Hamar, that Bechor of a Hamar needs pigeon, and you transfer it over to the Seh, and then you give the Seh over to the Kohen. If you don't want to be poded B'Seh, then you could be poded B'Domim, its value, and you give the damim to a kohen. And if you don't want to do that, then you do what's called arifa, in which there's a whole ceremony, you break the neck, etc., etc. Now, seh, if he takes advantage of the mitzvah of pediyah b'seh, that seh would have to be a pedigree seh, could not be kilayim, kidisnan, and we learned that in a mission in Bechoros, ein podim And you're going to see here on the list of things that excluded from pidgin is kelayim. But let's go through the list. Lo be'egel, because again, the Torah says in the parsha in Shmos Yud Beis, tifteh be'seh, an egel is not a seh. Velo be'chaya, and you have to exclude tzvi v'ayol, those are chayos. And then, velo be'shchuta, because a seh means a live seh, a complete live seh, as opposed to shchita. So you can't do pidgin on the shechted seh, and that's how the Rambam codifies it. You'll see in Hilchas Bikurim Perek Yud Beis. And the only question we have to ask is, the Gemara tells us in Yuma, and Tosfos quotes it back on Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, Dibur Maschil Zeh, that Kuli Alma, everybody agrees that par liachar misa nikra par, v'chein se liachar misa nikra se. So that, what does it mean that the word se here excludes liachar shchita? Even liachar shchita, we still call it a se. So the answer has to be that the halacha that you're not poder peter chamar on the se after shchita is derived from a separate gzeres shava. And it is not your normal halacha of eino karui seh. But the last one on the list before we get to kliyim is treifa. And interesting is that the word seh here in this parsha of petach hamor excludes a treifa. Seh excludes a treifa. Now, if you remember, the Gemara, back on Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, that we had not long ago, the Gemara at Akasha, there was a brisa about treifa, whether you chayv mechira on treifa, and the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, about the equation between mechira and tvicha. And the Gemara asks from Kelayim, it's very strange. Why did the Gemara on Ayin Zayin Amud Beis ask, well, how could you be chayev in the case of kelayim, since kelayim is not included the chayev tvicha? The Gemara could have asked from treifa that there should not be any chayev for mechiras kelayim in the case of ganav, because there's no chayev for tvicha, because the word seh would exclude kelayim. I'm sorry, the word seh would exclude treifa as well. Because we now see that seh excludes treifa. So that's a bit strange. In any event, v'lo b'kelayim, the Mishnah in Bechoros says that if you have a mixture, a breeding between a tayish and a rochel, then the child of that mixture is not called seh, and that derives from Rava's binyanav. V'lo b'koy, you have a more extreme, radical case of kelayim in the case of a breeding between a behema and a chaya, which would be, for example, a tzviya is a chaya, belonging to the deer family, and a tayish is a young goat. If you breed them and the offspring has a din of koi means suffik, it has suffik chaya, suffik behema, and that's still geared to dinim of chelev and dinim of kisi adam, that also is excluded from this parsha of Tifteh b'seh. So the Gemara asks, Ula Rabbi Elazar, de matir. Rabbi Elazar disagrees with the Chachamim as far as pidgin petach hamor b'kelayim. Disnan, Rabbi Elazar, matir b'kelayim, mipnei shehu seh. In other words, if you have two minim that were breeded together, and that which is born for them from that breeding is still called a seh, because again, both the mother and the father belong to the same general category. You're quoting about a tayish and a rochel. And in that case, what do we do? How can we justify Rava's binyanav within the framework of Rabbi Lazar, who says that Kelayim is subject to Pidyon Peter Chamor? Is Lamai Hilchasa? So once again, we're back to square one. How do we justify the binyan av of Rava, that whenever it says set, it comes to exclude Kelayim? Again, the Gemara is not asking a kasha on Rabbi Lazar based on Rava. I mean, Rabbi Lazar is a Tana, and he doesn't have to accept the binyan av of Rava. Ein lomar, eino lomed psul kelayim lepeter chamor. In other words, if Rabbi Lazar rejects, as a Tana has the right to do, this binyan av of Rava, he's not going to exclude and disqualify kelayim from peter chamor. But on the other hand, what bothers the Gemara is that since Rava does derive from this binyanav of Seh, he learns this binyanav, it would seem that the word Seh is superfluous according to Rabbi Lazar. In other words, basically what the Gemara's kasha is, if, which is okay, Rabbi Lazar rejects the binyanav of Rava from Seh, but what does he do with the word Seh? Rabbi Lazar would say the following: Ki itmar de Rava, I do accept the binyanav of Rava from Seh, and I need it for the case of Letame shenolad minatar v'iburo minatame. So the animals divide up into two categories. There are the kosher animals, the tahorim, and the toros, and we have the non-kosher animals, which are the tmeim. So take, for example, a para, a cow. That's a kosher animal. That's a tahora. Take, for example, a sus, a horse. That's a non-kosher animal. That's a tame. So what we have here is now a breeding. Again, I don't know how this is physically possible, but a breeding between a horse and a cow. Horse, cow, cow, horse. In which case the child, the Vlad, has a father that's a behemoth mea, a sus, a horse. Or take, for example, if you have a breeding between a Rachel, which is a kosher animal, and a Chazira, which is a non-kosher animal, a Chazir. And the Vlad of such a breeding, the Chazir, what status does it have? And the answer is that the status is that of a behemoth mea, and it's also Bachila. And this kind of an animal, which is behemoth mea, is excluded by virtue of the binyan av of Rava. And what do I mean? The Torah says in Parshas Re'eh, Zos habehema asher tochelu, shar se ksovim v'se izim. So it says se, and according to Rava, the word seh is coming to exclude this case of a kosher animal that was nisabra, she became pregnant from a tameh, from behemet meah, and the vlad itself is asur b'achila because we look at the father of this child, and the father of the child is a behemet meah. And this yalfusa from Rava is going to establish the status of the Vlad as a non-kosher animal. So the Gemara is suggesting, in answer to the question, the Makshan asked, what does Rabbi Lazar do with the word seh, since he doesn't need it for anything else? The answer is, in this pasuk of seh ksavim, seh izim, Rabbi Lazar is going from this pasuk, he's going to derive that the word seh, since it's extra, teaches me that if the father is a non-kosher animal, then the vlad is also asubachila like its father. The Gemara says, "Delo kirav Yeshua." Then you're clashing with Rabbi Yeshua, because Rabbi Yeshua is going to look at this pasuk and he's going to derive this conclusion, the same conclusion, but from a different part of the pasuk, not from the extra word seh. Why? Let's see it. He said, "De'i Rabbi Yeshua, misek savim v'se izim nafkale." In other words, Rabbi Yeshua sees that the Torah uses the plural for both ksavim and izim. That's what we call the Lashon Rabbim. And sekvasim means a seh that came from two ksavim. That's called a seh. Why did the Torah have to say seh ksavim? And the answer is, Achiyeh aviv keves v'imo kavsa, that you need two ksavim, the mother and the father, to produce a behema tahora. But if one of the parents, let's say in the case where the behema, the father is a tameh, behema tameh, then the vlad is asur b'achila. So this derivation of seh within the context of Rebbe Lazar is in variance with the shita of Rabbi Yeshua, who derives the exclusion, that same din, to exclude the father as a tameh, from the plural form of seh ksavim. The Gemara now asks, utahora mitmea mi ma'abra. What are you assuming here? That the father is a behema tmea, like a sus, the mother is behema kshera, tahora, like a para. How could there possibly be any crossbreeding between a behema tahora and a behema tmeah? That, you know, Rabbi Lozman and Rabbi Yeshua need each one respectively to find a derivation and derive the Isra Achila in such a case. How could there be any crossbreeding? And the Gemara says in Masechta Bechoros, the Olam Ein Misaberes Lo Tmeah Min HaTorah V'lo Tahora Min HaTmeah. So how do we work this out? Where's the Metzius? And the Gemara answers, in. You're absolutely right. The possibility of a mixture of breeding between a behema tahora and a behema tmeya is only a halachic discussion if you understand what the term tmeya means here in this context. And what we're talking about, a tmeya, is a case of a kolut. So again, what kind of mute, what kind of exclusion are the Tanoim trying to exclude? So for this we have to go back to Gemara and Bechoros Daf Zayin, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yeshua. We're talking about where both the parents of the animal are Tahorim, otherwise it's impossible to produce a Vlad. But the child, the Vlad of this marriage, is an animal that doesn't have both simone tahara, right? There are two simone tahara or kashrus in an animal. One is called mali gera. The other is parsoseha prusos, meaning that there's a split in the hooves of the animal. Here we're talking about an animal whose parsoseha are klutos. Klutos means they hang together, they're attached. And Reb Shimon is of the opinion that such a vlad, since it only has one siman kashrus, is asur b'achila. Reb Yeshua, on the other hand, says that one siman in this case is enough to be matir it b'achila, becomes a behema tahora. That's the opinion of Reb Yeshua. And now the Gemara says, on the top of Daf Ayin Ches Amid Beis, the Kaimalon, the Iaber Mikolut Kirabi Shimon. We're going to paskin l'chumra that in the case of a kolut becomes a behema asur b'achila, and therefore if this kolut even though it's a Bema Torah, and therefore, as far as its species biologically is concerned, it can be bred, you can breed it with another Tahora, but since it has the status of a Tmeya, because we pass like Reb Shimon, it's also Bachila, therefore we want to exclude the Vlad of this mixture between a crossbreed between a Kolut and a Tahora from the Dinim of Pigeon Peter Chamor. So let's just summarize this last point. The Aber Mikolut. Now, as we know that the mother of this animal was Tahora, but the father was Tmeya in the sense that this Behema was a Kolut, which means that the Parsos are complete as a Behema Tmeya, and they're not split as they are in the case of Behema Tahora. And therefore, since the father had only one Simon, we pass like Reb Shimon, that despite the Mali Gera element here, the animal is still Asura. And now when that animal is bred with another animal, which is a Behema Tahora, the Kolut, together with the Tahora, produces an animal which is Asur Bachila. And that's true both according to Reb Lazar and according to Reb Yeshua, each one from a different derivation, and we call a kolut a tmeya, a behema tmeya in this context. Even though, again, as far as its species is concerned, it's kosher, but the simon is not there. And this really touched on the whole issue of simonim. Is the simon just a simon, or it's a siba? You know, you need the simon, in this case of Mafresis Parsa, in order to generate the Tara and the Kashus of the animal. That's going to be the Machlokas here between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yeshua, not here in this Gemara, but in the Sugya in Bechoros. Our Sugya reflects the Siba concept of Simonim, and that is the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Now, a lot of what we've said in interpreting this Gemara is based on Rashi, it's based on the Aruch. The Aruch has an Aruch called Kolut. Other Rishonim, however, like Tosis and the Rashba, interpret that our Sugya and the Machlokes between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Shimon revolves around a case of an animal that was born to two Behemos Tahoros, but yet the animal looks only slightly like its mother, but looks more like a behemoth mea. And that takes us back to the sugya of Nidme. Boy Rava, Hare Olai Ola. A person takes a neder to bring a carbon ola. Now, he can bring a carbon ola from the best of the best, or the worst of the worst. Let's set up three categories. The best of the best would be a shar. That's really a healthy, big, large, expensive animal. The worst of the worst would be an oaf, and that's considered that's in the parasha of Olas Ha'oaf, which I believe is in the fifth chapter of Sefer Vayikra. I have to double check that. In any event, right in the middle, you've got a keves, which is a shepsela, that's already down the middle. So when a person takes a neder to bring a carbon ola, and he's got all these various possibilities in front of him, Rava has the following suffix, which is a suffix in Hilchas Gneva, and whether or not we have a chiyuv to pay for the ganav to pay for this animal. What is this animal? So again, although the noder has three options, the case that Rava addresses is where Hifrish Shar, he went ahead, this noder, and he singled out a shar. He's a big shot, Baruch Hashem, Mitzvah Mubchar, he wants to do the best he can, he pays for a shar. He's got the money to do so. Uba Acher V'Ganav, now the shar gets stolen, after the Afrasha. Mi potar haganov nafshe, bekeves. If the ganov returns a different category of those three categories that we delineated, he returns as a replacement for the shor. He goes down a madriga. Says the Gemara, is that okay? Can he, for example, bekeves, return a keves, which is obviously a much lower madriga than a shor, but simply to facilitate that the nignav will be able to fulfill his neder? And Rava says that this suffek, in terms of giving a keves to replace a shor, could only be relevant lirabbana. Now, we can raise an alternative, a slightly different variation of this suffek, within the context of the bar plugta the rabbanon, and that's ba'olas ha'of lirabbalaz ben Azaria. Is it possible that even though the nignav was mafresh a shor for his neder, nevertheless the ganav who stole this shor can replace it with ola? With olas ha'of, excuse me, with the lowest level on the totem pole, meaning a bird, which is called in the Torah's language tar o ben yona, which is a carbon that's brought, for example, and we're not going into all the details, but for example, it brought bedalus, banius, you know, poor person who can't bring for his carbon ola a behema, he can bring an oaf. And the Gemara says that there is a machlokas between Rabbanon and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah on the very fundamental question of how to fulfill one's neder harei olai ola. What are the parameters? This nan, we have a mission at the end of Menachos. Harei olai ola is according to Tanakama yavi keves. As an ola, he has to bring anything from keves and above, but he's not allowed to bring and fulfill his neder with an oaf. That which olas ha'oaf exists, according to Tanakhama, that's a separate category. That's a case of anius. That's not really the way a neder of ola is meant to be fulfilled. Oaf is a new halacha, so to speak. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah omer, no. Yavi tar o ben yona. He took upon himself to bring a neder, to bring an ola, he could come scrape down to the bottom of the barrel. And even tar o ben yona is considered a kium of mitzvah's carbon ola. So again, within the context of the Rabbanon, this ganav might be able to, according to the suffix, might be able to replace the shor that was designated for the neder with a keves. Within the context of the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, we might even go further. We might allow the ganav to replace the shor with an oaf, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. My, what's the din in the case of a ganav? And now we have Rava's analysis. Mi amrin, should we say shame ola kabeli luye? What the Bailam accepted upon themselves, and therefore what the ganav has to replace, is just a shame ola. Whatever is considered an ola, and could be a fulfillment of the mitzvah of neder and an ola, that's exactly what the ganav has to replace. So, for example, according to Rabbanon, the ganav can give a keves. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he can give an oaf, because both of these, marakidis and marakidis, would be fulfillments of the mitzvah of neder. O Dilma, should we say, Matzi Omale? Wait a minute, the Bible have right to say, forget about what theoretically I could have brought to fulfill my neder. What about this very physical entity, you know, this very tangible cheftza that I was mafresh? I decided that I want to give the highest level of a carbon ola, and that is a shor, and you stole the shor, and therefore you have to return the shor, and again avail me with the possibility of fulfilling this mitzvah of ola on the exact same level that I wanted to fulfill the mitzvah. So again, the noder himself certainly could have packed himself up with a keves. He doesn't have to do the mitzvah min ha-muvchar. There's no absolute compelling reason to do so. But on the other hand, it's enough of an argument to justify the claim of the nignav, who had already been mafresh his shor as a carbon olah, to demand quid pro quo, to replace the shor and allow and facilitate the nignav's kiyum of mitzvah min ha-muvchar. Basar di boy, hadar pshata. After Rava raised this question, he came to some conclusion. He was machriya the suffix. How did he tip the scale? And ganov potar atzmo bekeves rabbanon bi olas ha'of l'rabbalos ben Azariah. The ganov now has the same din, meaning to guarantee the kiyum mitzvah this neder, as the Bailim, as the Nignav himself. The Nignav himself, according to Rabbanon, would be able to replace, if need be, his shor with a keves. And according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the Nignav could replace, in order to fulfill his neder, the shor with an oaf. And the chiv of the Gazlan, vis-a-vis the Bailim, is to replace and guarantee that the Bailim could be Mekayim there, chovas neder. So therefore he becomes potur by bringing a keves or an oaf to the bailim, to the nignav, because therefore through that the bailim, the nignav, could fulfill his neder, his chovas nidarim. Now Rashi implies a question, he gives the answer. Why, from the perspective of the noder, okay, he's the nignav, and just give him, avail him, says Rava Lamaskar, with the possibility of fulfilling his neder. However, what about the stealing of Hegdesh? I mean, he stole Hegdesh. Hegdesh has a right to get back the shor that was Hegdesh. And the answer, says Rashi, is that we have a pasuk in the parsha of Geneva. It says, V'gunav mibeis ha'ish, v'lo mibeis Hegdesh. There's no such thing as stealing from Hegdesh. And the Gemara concludes, Rav Acha, Bray the Ravika Maslile Beheja, Omar Rava, Harelai Ola Vehifrish Shar, Uba Acher Ugnovo, Potter Atmo Bekeves Lirabonon, Ubiola Saov, Lirabi Lozar Ben Azaria. So we see that Rava is absolutely correct in his Maskona. I shouldn't say correct, because this is a girsa of Rava. According to this version of Rava, Rava never vacillated about this question, but right up front he understood very well that the entire chiyuv of the ganov in terms of Hashabas Hagneva exhausts itself in the parameters for the nignav to fulfill his chiyuv neder, whether it be keves lirabonon or Of Le Rabbelozer Ben Azaria. I just wanted to mention in passing that there's a tshuva from the Aram Mintz that if a person buys an Esrog Mehudar and he spends a heck of a lot of money on it, and then somebody takes that Esrog and destroys it, he can pay him enough money to buy an Esrog Kosher, an Esrog Poshut, a simple bottom barrel Esrog. He's not chayev to give him the mitzvah min ha-muvchar esrog as a replacement. The bala esrog has no legal right to claim, you know what, I wanted to fulfill the mitzvah min ha-muvchar. We find here by a karban ola that the taina of the nignav, I wanted to fulfill the mitzvah min ha-muvchar, is not accepted. And Rav Lamaskana, and that's how we paskin, says, you know what, just give him that which he needs and nothing more. However, although this is one opinion in the tshuva literature, the Chacham Tzvi writes that there's a fundamental distinction between Ola and Esrog. In the case of a carbon Ola, which cannot be sold on the open market, the Nignav doesn't really have any strict value, monetary market value ownership over the Ola. But what he has is the Ola that's worth whatever it's worth for him in order to fulfill his chiv neder. But in the case of Esrog, The Bailim could have sold the Esrog, and he would have collected a heck of a lot of money for it. It's such a beautiful Esrog. And therefore he was being mafsid his mammon. Forget about the mitzvah in a muvchar that the Ganav robbed him of. But we're talking about something that has real, true monetary value. Rashi points out that this whole discussion of Rava and a suffix of Rava makes sense according to Rav Shimon, that Kodshim Shechai Bachar Yusam Chayav Aleihem. And what it would seem from Rashi is that if a person steals from Hegdesh, even though he's not Chayav Dalet Vehei, but nevertheless he's Chayav to pay Keren. And the suffix of Agamari here can actually spread out, and it could be understood and interpreted even on the Chiyuv Tashlum Keren, the actual replacement of the Chefetz HaNikzal. And according to the Rabbanan Akeves, and according to Rabbi Lozman Azariah, an oath. So what does Rashi mean when he says that according to Rabbi Shimon, when we have the concept of Bailim Chayov Bachar Yusam, they took a neder, they'll have to replace it, and it's Dover Gor Lomom, the whole thing, then the behemoth is theirs. And yet, Eino Chayv L'Shalom HaKeren LaHegdish L'fi She'ena Shalahem. And just to reiterate, if we would interpret the Gemara the way we understood it, namely that the whole Suffolk and the Diyun here back and forth of Rava is on the Tashlum HaKeren, then Lechora, we don't have to introduce Rabbi Shimon of Kachm Shechayev Lachar Yusam. So why does Rashi feel compelled to introduce that element into the equation? Perhaps what Rashi means is that if we don't accept Rabbi Shimon of Kachm Shechayev Lachar Yusam Dover Gom Lomomen, and we rather accept Rabbanon, then the Bailim here, in this case of a neder, and he was mafresh the shor, they don't really own, they don't have bailus over the shor, because it's a carbon. And a carbon is mufka from bailus. So that if our sugya, according to Rabbanon, is vacillating about payment, then it shouldn't be the god of paying back to the bailim, meaning to the nignav, but rather the bema doesn't belong to the bailim, to hegdesh, and maybe he should be paying to hegdesh this shor. He was Mazik and Mafsid Hegdesh. And that's a little bit strange, because the Gemara says in the logic here that Anah Mitzvah Amuvchar Be'ino Lemevad. It's quite explicit here that the Gemara is vacillating about what is the scope and the nature of the Chiyuv Hashav of the Ganav vis-a-vis the Bailim. And that's where the Bailim is counter-arguing, you know, I deserve a Shar, because of mitzvah and a muvchar. So that's why Rashi is compelled to introduce Reb Shimon into the equation. And the reason why the Bailim here are suing the Gadov is because Dovra Gom Lomom Kemom Dovra, they really have a certain dimension of Bailus in this Karvan. Let's learn the Mishnah. The Mishnah now is going to present certain scenarios in which there's a Ptur for Tvicha Mechira vis-a-vis Dalet Vehei. So we're talking about someone who steals a shor. And the Mishnah says, Mecharo chutz me'echad mi'mea shebo, if he sells the shor, which it normally would incur a chiyuv Dalet Vehei, but he puts a shiur in the contract, in the sale, which means he leaves something for himself. It's not a total sale. The Gemara is going to explain exactly what he left for himself, and therefore it's not a sale that would generate a chiyuv dalet vehei. Oh, here's another case of someone who stole a shor, shel hoisa bo shutfus. In other words, he himself, the ganav, owned, had partnership rights in the shor before the gneva. He, this shutaf, went ahead and stole the shor and shechted it or sold it. It means that the shechita itself wasn't kulo be'isur, because he himself has ownership in the shor as a shutov. Only part of the shor belongs to the other shutov, the nignav. So in these two cases, the Mishnah is going to say that the ganav is potter from dalet vehei, because he didn't really sell the shor. Again, he didn't sell the shor completely, totally left out, and he left for himself, he retained for himself certain elements of bialus in the shar, or alternatively, case where one shutuv stole from the other shutuv and sold it, he didn't sell the entire shar, meaning he sold his half of the shar, and on that half there was no gneva, and therefore he's potter from dal vehe on this mechira. Then the Mishnah continues and says, Hashochet v'nisnavla biyado. If the ganav shechts the animal and he really messed up the shechita pretty bad, again, he didn't do it deliberately, he obviously would have loved to have shechted properly, but shalomi daito, he wanted to shecht the kedina the proper way, but he failed to do so nisnavla. And that's a variation of the next case in the Mishnah of hanocher v'hami'aker. Nocher ma'aker already are situations in which he, the ganav, is not interested in shechita, and he makes the animal into an avela. That's called nocher and ma'aker. So it wasn't like the first case of shochev and isnavla v'yoda, where inadvertently he implemented an improper shechita and it became nevela. Now, notice that this Mishnah seems to be at least partially superfluous and unnecessary. And the reason for that is, you know, I could argue once you've told me already that nocher and ma'aker, cases in which, you know, he didn't mess up a shechita, is kolshkein nivla biyadayim. If he's potter from dal vehe in the case where he attempted and intended to do a shechita, proper shechita, but since at the end of the day the animal is an avela, he's potter. How much more so if he never even intended to do a shechita? What would be the reason that I'd be mechayev him? I mean, obviously the animal is an avela. So he's giving different permutations of cases where the animal is an avela despite his action, and he's potter. Well, if he's potter in the case where he tried to do a shechita, but technically he never succeeded in doing so, how much more so should he be potter if he never intended to do a shechita from the beginning? Unless we want to throw out a svara to say that when he intends to do shechita and it became an avela, the reason why he's potter is because, you know what, we have a certain element of compassion. He didn't achieve his goal. When is the ganav chayev and liable, and he has to pay dal vehe when he achieved his goal? That's rishus. But here, nevuch, he didn't even achieve his goal, so let him off the hook. But in a case where he had a deliberate intention from the get-go to make it into an avela without any attempt at shechita, maybe then we should say that he's chayev kamashmo. No, since there was no shechita, there's nothing to engender the chiyuv. Now, what's the difference between nocher and ma'aker? Nocher, it means that he basically tore apart the physical body of the animal. There is a Rashi in Chulin that interprets it a little differently as chonko, you know, he suffocated the animal. And mi'aker is a technical term, which means that he was oker the simonim, those simonim, the kind of the veshet that he has to shecht, and therefore made it impossible to do shechita. Is in all these cases, mishalim tashlume kefel, the eno mishalim tashlume arba v'chamisha. There is no chiyuv for tvicha in all these cases, because there was never a proper shechita, right? It was nisnabla. And in the case, in the ratio of the Mishnah, there was never a proper mechir because he withheld through shear some parts of the animal for himself. Or, for example, if he shechted or sold an animal that belonged to both him, the ganav, and his shutav, there wasn't a complete tvicha or mechira. But in all these cases, there's no p'tur of kefil. Kefil is engendered by the gneiv itself. The fact that he shechted it this way, or he sold it that way, and it did qualify as shechita for dalvei, or it didn't qualify as mechir for dalvei, that's irrelevant to the initial gneiva and the chiv that emanates from that gneiva to pay kefil. Keep in mind that the Chachamim Shita, as opposed to Rav Shimon back on Samach Beis, is that Yechayef for Shchita Shein Aruya. Like, for example, if it was a Trefa. But there, at least, the Rabbanit say Yechayef because it was a Maisa Shchita, and the Shchita could have removed Nevela. Here in our Mishnah, there was no Shchita at all. And therefore, even the Chachamim Rav Shimon would agree that there's no Chiyuv Dalet Vehei. There's a Sma in Choshim Mishpat, it wants to say there's a difference between the case of Trefa with the Rabbanan say Yechayef Edal Vehei, because at the moment of the Shechita was a Shechita Re'uya. Why? Because in his mind, he didn't realize that it was Trefa. We only found out it was Trefa subsequently when we did an inner check on the organs. But in the case of Nocher Ma'aker, he knew from the get-go that this is a Shechita Shein Re'uya, and therefore he's Potter. But Rabbi Kivega has the sharpest way of understanding this. And he says the following: the reason why the Rabbanan say Yechayev for a Shechita that turned out to be a Shechita of a Trefa is because that Shechita itself is meaningful, and the Halacha does recognize that Shechita, albeit not to be Mata the Basar, but at least to remove the Isa Tumas Nevela. And if the Shechita is a Chaloshem Shechita Kshero Re'uya Le Tire as a behema midei nevela from tumas nevela, then the Torah recognized that shechita, and it could engender a chiyuv dalet vehei. That's the chacham shiva. That has nothing to do with our cases of nocher umi aker. The behema is a nevela. There's no shechita. It's not motzi as a bosom midei tuma, and therefore for sure you potter. So even though the rabbanon machayev you if you shecht it, and then it turns out to be a treifa, they don't require Shechita Ruya in the technical sense of being Mate, the Bas L'Achila, but in a case where there wasn't Shechita at all, not even a Maisa Shechita, and certainly no Chalo Shechita, the Rabbana would agree that you're Potter. The Gemara right away asks, "My Chutz Me Echad Me Mea Shebo?" And what we're about to embark upon is a whole series of many, many different Shitas to understand what is a limited kind of Mechira, such that the Ganav, despite that Mechir, is not Chayiv and Dalet Vehei. Omar Rav has the most abstract sheet of them all. Chutz midovar hanitar imo b'shchita. In other words, in every case of Shechita, we have to ask ourselves what part of the animal needs Shechita, which Eivarim, which Basa needs Shechita, and which part does not need Shechita. It's not nitar al yedei shechita. So take, for example, the R of behema, or the karnayim, or the tzemer on the back of a sheep. Those are parts of the animal that are not basar, and they don't require a heta shechita. Therefore, says Rav, we're going to use the shechita as the paradigm for mechira, meaning whatever has to be, whatever is considered part of the animal as far as the tzarech shechita, the heta shechita is concerned, that's part of the animal as far as the mechira. So for example, according to Rav, if the Ganav sells it, but he leaves out of the sale, and he leaves for himself the oros, the karnayim, the tzemer, he's still chayev dalet vehei. But if he leaves out a shtik basar, and he says part of the basar of this animal is mine, that's already a shear in the kinyan as far as the chayev dalet vehei. For Levi Omar, Levi sells, you know what? Even if he sells the entire behema, but he says chutz mi gizo seha, right? The giza, which is the wool on the back of the sheep, that's already something that's not kashur, that's not connected to the gufa shel behema. It's completely independent, or it's an attachment, but it's outside of the definition of the behema, and therefore, if you would have thought logically, without Levi, that if he sold the behemah chutz migizoseha, That means basically as far as the gufa of the behemah is concerned, it was an absolute and complete, total, all-inclusive mechira. Then in such a case, even though the God have left for himself the giza, he should be chayav dalet vehei for such a mechira. Nein. Comes along Levi and he goes very far. And he has a price of v'chein tanya masnisa chutz mi gizo sel. Anything that he leaves out of this mechira is enough to undermine the mechira as a mechira that engenders dalet vehei. So for example, from Rav's perspective, the fact that he says chutz mi gizo sel, the gizo is a separate entity. It's not part of the behemah itself. It's not part of the gufa shel basar. And therefore, it's not relevant to Shiur. Let him keep that for himself, Mr. Ganim, but you still chayv dal vehei. Comes along Levi, and he has a brisa to support him, and he says that even if he leaves out just the gizos, that also, even though it would seem to be something separate, extraneous to the object, it's only attached to the object, it's not essential to that, nevertheless, that's called a Shiur, and he's part. You know, it's very interesting here, when you think about this Ganim, if he's a shtickle lamdin, then he certainly would keep something for himself, at least part of the giza. That would make sense. I don't think the lokeach would back out of the deal. So the ganav gets his cake and eats it too. He gets the mechira and he's not chayav anything if he gets caught. Meaning, even if they catch him and they sue him and they testify against him, that mechira does not engender dalet vehei. Now, we mentioned that there are there's an array of shitas here on this question, what constitutes a shira and mechira to undermine and neutralize the chiyuv dalet vehei and mechira. Meisve, we have a brisa, we're going to see three shitas in this brisa, none of which reflect the shita of Rav. Rav becomes, therefore, like a fourth sheet. It's like Rav Tanu Upolig almost. Now, one of the shitas, the three shitas mentioned in this brisa, could actually reflect the shita of Levi. So at least Levi has some leg to stand on, but Rav is out in the cold. What does the brisa say? Mechara chutz mi yada. He leaves out the arm of the animal. Okay, we have to know what that means. Probably the two front legs of the animal are called yadayim in this case. Chutz mi ragleho. Or he leaves out of this mechira the back legs, the anterior legs. Chutz mi karna, he leaves out the horns. Chutz mi gizel, he leaves out the shearings. All these are different cases in which the ganav retains something for himself. Is eino misham teshlumi arba v'chamisha. And this first Tana of the three seems to reflect the sheet of Levi, because he mentions chutz mi gizel seah. Now, certainly gizel is something that's extraneous to the animal, but it doesn't matter. It still constitutes a shear in the mechir and undermines dalet vehei. Why? Because it's attached to the animal. And that's enough. Rebbe Omer, Dovra Ma'akev b'shchita. Rebbe says that we have to learn Hilchos Shchita here. And that is, if the animal in its lifetime is missing something, and as a result of that missing something, there's no heta shchita, that something is so integral and essential to the animal that if he leaves it out of the mechira, he's not chayiv dalet vehei. Rashi explains what parts of the animal have to be there b'chayim in order for the shchita to be matir. He mentions the veshet, he mentions the kana, the yerech, he mentions chalal shalo, he says the kaved, b'nei be'ayim. These are all the main, shall we say, organs of the animal that have to be part of the live animal in order for the shechita to be matir. So if he sells this animal, but he wants to leave for himself, Mr. Ganav, the kaveh, the liver, he wants to leave the intestines, the kishkas, for himself, that's not a mechir and that's shir. Let's not confuse that with Rav. Rav says that every part of the animal that needs shechita, which is basically the entire animal, is got to be sold if that mechira is to engender a chiyuv dalet vehei. So we wouldn't limit ourselves to just these vital organs. I mean, obviously, Rav is a much broader scope. For example, if according to Rav, during the lifetime of this animal, a leg was amputated, and that leg, of course, would need a heta shchita. If he sells the animal without that leg, then that's called a shear, and he's not chayv dal vehei. Mashenkin, according to Rebbe in this brisa, Rebbe would say that if that leg is gone, there's still a heter shechita on the rest of the animal, and therefore that's not a shear on the leg. You need something much more vital and essential to the life of the animal, like the cases that we spoke about before, including the covet and the b'nei me'ayin. And now we go back to the b'raisa, and we look at the third shechita in the b'raisa. So again, let's just read Rebbe again. Dovra maki v'shchita eino misham tashlumi arba v'chamisha. If he leaves it out of the mechira, eino ma'akev b'shchita. But those parts of the animal which, if they're gone, do not undermine the possibility of a valid shchita, is mishalim tashlumi arba v'chamisha. If he leaves that out of the mechira, nevertheless, he is chayev dalad v'hei. So again, Rashi's example is Nechtecha Yoda or Raglam and Arkuvalamala. All these cases are cases in which he can still shech the animal. Again, there's going to be a discussion here about the laws of Trefa, because forget about a Shechita being Matir Bachila in the case where the animal lost its Yad or its Regel. The animal itself is not going to survive. It's a Trefa. But the answer is, that's not ma'akev the shechita. The shechita might not be able to be matir the animal for achila insofar as it's a trefa. But nevertheless, as we saw in Rabbi Kivega earlier, the shechita is a valid shechita l'tayer es habeima midei tumas nevela. And insofar as it's a valid shechita, you therefore insist that the ganav is chayev dalad vehe. Rav Shimon Elazar, the third sheet, omer chutz mi karna, only if he engages if the ganav engages in a mechira, leaving out the karnayim, the horns, ena mishalim tashlume kefil, but chutz mi gizoseo mishalim tashlume arba v'chamisha. And that's going to be a headache for us, you know, to understand Reb Shimon Elazar. I mean, what's the difference here between the Karnayim? If he leaves out the Karnayim, then it's not a Mechira, it's a Shira, and he doesn't pay Dalet V'hei. If he excludes from this Mechira Gizosea, that's not a Shira. Okay, that much I understand. Then he pays Dalet V'hei, but why is Chutz Mi Karna worse than Chutz Mi Gizosea in order to be Mafkia the Mechira by virtue of define its definition as a shiur, and he doesn't pay Dalet Vehe. In any event, getting back to Rav and Levi that we began with, Bishleima Levi Kitana Kama, Levi is not a problem in finding a Tana upon whose shoulders he can stand. He will find the shoulders of the Tana Kama, because the Tana Kama says that even if he sells it excluding the Karnayim or the Giza, that itself is a Shir and Patur. So this is like the biggest Kula vis-a-vis the Ganav, the most expanded definition of Mechira, with a Shir that seems to be so insignificant, and yet it's enough to undermine the Mechira as far as Dalet Vehei is concerned. And that's what we saw before. Levi Chutz Mi Gizel said that itself, even though it's so external to the essence of the sheep, nevertheless, he left it out of the mechira. That's enough to engender a shiur, and therefore he's not chayev dalet vehei. El Rav keman, but amongst the various tanoim whose opinions are enumerated here in this price, not one of them would reflect the shita of Rebbe. Of Rav. Why? According to Tana Kama, even if he leaves out gizosel, that's called a shiur. According to Rebbe, even if he leaves out a yad, right, which is a dovar anita b'shchita, but nevertheless you can't find a way of validating the shchita without the yad, and it's not a ma'akev b'shchita, and therefore you chayv dalvei. And according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, even if you leave out the karnayim, which seems to be so extraneous to the animal, nevertheless that's called a shir. And Rav would disagree with every single position of all these three Tanoim that are presented here in this Braisa. Again, he would disagree with the Tana Kama, because the Tana Kama would say, Chutz mi karna gizosel. And if we fast forward to the Shita of Reb Shimon Elazar. He would disagree with Reb Shimon Elazar because of Reb Shimon's Shiur in Chutz Mikarna. And even according to Rebbe, who's right down the middle, as we discussed at great length earlier, there's a discrepancy between Rav and Rebbe. Rebbe would say that if Nebuch, the animal, had an amputated arm, nevertheless you could still shech the animal. There's not an ikuv on the chal shem shechita, and that we discussed with Rebbe Kiveger and the Letarmi de Tumas Tevela. Whereas Rav, in that very same case, would say that the ganav would be chayav because shiur to Rav, that is a shiur, the mechir fi, leaves himself the yad, or the regel, because that's a dovra nitar imo b'shchita. In other words, if this leg or arm were part of the animal v'chayim, then the shchita would be mater, the achil, the bas achil, even for these eivorim. Although, again, it's not an eiver that would be ma'akim the shchita, meaning, according to the sheet of Rebbe here, recorded in the Mishnah, in the Braisa, if the shear was on a leg or an arm, that would not considered a shear, and the ganav would have to pay dalad vehei, even though it's a nitar b'shchita, but it's not ma'akev es ha-shchita. Amri, the Gemara answers, Rav d'omer ki haitana, although none of the tanoim in this price who can reflect can square with Rav, but nevertheless Rav could hold like a different price. The Sanya, Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, u'mechara chutz miyada, v'chutz miragla, einu mishalim tashlumei, arba v'chamisha. These are dvarim ha nitarim imo b'shchita. You need, in order to be matar achilas yad or regal, you need the heter of shchita. Chutz mikarna, chutz migizoseha, mishalim tashlumei arba v'chamisha. If, on the other hand, in contrast to the Reish, Rav Shimon says he sold the entire animal with any part of the animal that needs a heter shchita, but he excluded from this mechira parts of the animal or things that are attached to the animal that do not require a heter shchita, like the karnayim or the giza, the shearings, then he does pay tashlumei arba v'chamisha. Do you see here in Reb Shimon Elazar, in contrast to Rebbe, the kula of chutz miyada, that would alleviate, if that was omitted in the mechira, that will alleviate the responsibility, the obligation of the ganav to pay dalad vehei. It's a kula for the ganav, and that's Rav Shita. I could be mekil if he leaves out any part that would be subject to the heter shchita. The Gemara now wants to analyze the underlying reasons of these various opinions. B'mai k'miflugi, Tanakama sova, Tanakama understands. In the parish of Dalet Vehei, it says, Shmos Chaf Aleph, ki yignov ish shar ose utvacho o mecharo. Is utvacho kulo be'inon? U'mecharo kulo be'inon. When are you chayef for tvicha mechira, Mr. Ganov? That's only if it was kulo. And for kulo, it means you have to sell the entire shor. If you leave out anything from the mechira, any shiur, even something that doesn't need a heter shchita, for example, giza, nevertheless, that's enough to create a shiur. The Rebbe Sovar utvacho midi dehavi bitficha. Utvacho means only those eivorim, those parts of the body that lend themselves to shchita, those things which, according to Rebbe, Arma Akev Shchita. Those are the things that break up the Mechira and create and engender a Shiur, Mafkia Dal Vehe. In other words, those very basic vital organs that we discussed, according to Rebbe, if they were absent, then the Shchita would not be able to be Matir, and it would be a meaningless Shchita. Fuki Midi Delo Havi Bitvicha. And we're excluding things that are not ma'akiv the shechita. In other words, even if the behema was missing these eivorim, nevertheless there still would be a chalushem shechita, the shechita would be valid. So if he sold the behema, with the exception of these vital organs, that's called a shear. But if there are other organs which don't undermine the status of the shechita, then even though he left those organs out of the shiur. Again, if those are secondary organs, as I call them, not the primary organs, then even though he left them, he omitted them out of the mechira, it would not undermine the mechira and the chiyuv dal vehei. Umecharo dumya de tficha. And the laws of mechira are a reflection of the laws of tficha. Again, those items, those vital organs, which are necessary and a prerequisite to set up a shechita, those cannot be left out of the purview of the mechira in order to engender a chiyuv dalet vehei. Rav Shimon Elazar sofar karna delo lemigza kaima havishir v'eino mishalim tashlum arba v'chamisha. The karnayim are considered an attachment to the animal and part of the animal. Again, it's not so from the perspective of shechita in any sense, but from the perspective of what you expect to have on the animal and what, you know, you wouldn't expect and anticipate to chop off the karnayim of the animal. And therefore, if you leave that out, you're leaving out a very major part of the attachment to the animal. But gizosel, the lemiga is kaimi. You know, right now, on a temporary basis, the giza is attached to the animal, but it's not really a permanent, essential attachment to the animal, because we expect to shear off these shearings from the animal. Lo avi shear mishalim arba v'chamisha. Ve'idach tana debe Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, and the tana the b'raisa. This is the second version of Rav Shimon ben Elazar, not the first. The first version says there's a shear on karnayim, but there's no shear on giza. The second Rav Shimon ben Elazar says, adopting the position of Rav, as we saw, that according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, savar yada v'raglov d'tzricha t'vicha, anything which needs a heter, shechita, and is included in the mater v'achila, for example, yadayim v'raglayim, even those parts of the animal, the extremities that are not vital organs, havishir. V'lo mashalim tashlumei arba v'chamisha, but karnayim, karneo v'gizo said, the lo tzricha t'vicha, there's no heter shechita chal vis-a-vis the horns or the shearings. Lo havishir, if he leaves them out, it's not a shear. So the Gemara asks Kasha the Rav Shimon Elazar, Shim Ram Shazar. And the Gemara answers, Trei Tanoi Valiba de Rav Shimon ben Elazar. The two versions of Rav Shimon ben Elazar, both are valid presentations. The Rav Shimon ben Elazar of the Idach, meaning of the second Brisa, not Rav Shimon ben Elazar as the third Shita listed in the first Brisa that has three Shitas, that second Rav Shimon ben Elazar is identical with Rav. The first Rav Shimon ben Elazar, that's already a distinction between, you know, what to usually take off the animal and detach, what's usually with the animal on a permanent basis, and therefore he differentiates between Karnayim and Giza. It's extreme Shita Lakula is the Tanakam and Levi Shita, that if you leave out anything from the Mechira, you're not Chayiv Dalet Vehei, Mr. Ganav. That really alleviates the Ganav and tremendous compassion because of the Kulo Be'inon. And the Kulo Be'inon means that anything that's attached to the animal, even if it's only the Giza, which is sort of like meant to be cheered off, nevertheless, it's part of the animal at this point. And if the Ganav retains ownership by limiting the Mechira on the Giza, that's enough to undermine the halacha of Mechira and the Chiyuv Dalet Vehei.